I started the coaching business and I said to myself, as a worst case scenario, if the business fails, the things I learn, I can adopt it to parenting. And so just luckily the business is crushing it. And also it's made me a better parent too. Just the things you learn as a business owner are so applicable to leadership and parenting and decision making and learning and growing for sure. Yeah. Like you said, the three things, you know, parenting, being in a spousal relationship and growing a business grows you as a human more than anything else.
When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. All right. I just dove in with Richmond Dinn, and I am so excited for you to listen to this episode because Richmond actually pulled out something that I feel like is incredibly powerful for every parent. And he pulled it out in a very articulate way in that he talked about how parenting is like the ultimate personal development tool. And I couldn't agree more. We talked about how it's a privilege and a blessing, and it grows us to get to see this incredible human being. And it's humbling because we have their life in our hands and we get to raise them and grow them and steward what an incredible human being they are. But furthermore, as we're raising them, we kind of realize that we ourselves are being raised and grown, and we get the opportunity to change because of who they are, because it challenges us. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I know I did. So get comfortable and let's dive in. Welcome back to the Powerful Parenting Journey. I am with the incredible Richmond Dinn today. He has become one of my friends and someone I look up to in the business. I met him in Russell Brunson's inner circle. And man, we have literally shared drinks over a fire with a big group of people masterminding together, as well as like been in high intensity masterminds and been in paradise in Mexico. Like, we've done such incredible things together, Richmond. And one of the things I have loved the most is seeing you with your wife and your kids and how you are building this incredible empire online, but yet you prioritize your girls. And I just think that's so beautiful. So I'm so thankful for you coming on tonight. And just want to say how much I appreciate you and so glad that you came on.
Oh, it goes both ways, Steph. I mean, I just feel this special connection with you. And I'm so glad that we met, and it was just kind of serendipitous and how we got to hang out so many times. And then we became like best buds inside the community as well. And seeing you interact with John, just I look up to how well you guys are a unit together and just so loving towards each other and just so supportive of each other. So I want to thank you for that inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about it, man. We're over here, you know, with these grand ambitions to do amazing things and to change people's lives. And you're literally changing people's lives. I know you pivoted recently to the underdog movement, but tell everybody just briefly what it is that you do. Like, what is the ambition inside of you? What has it driven you to build, and how are you impacting people?
Yeah. So we help beginner coaches, which is beginner entrepreneurs, grow an online coaching business from scratch. We help them transition to full time so they can do what they love doing and pursue what they're passionate about and not live to the expectations of their culture, their community, their family, the people around them, and just live that life that really means something to them, right? That's what we're most passionate about.
I love that. And so you're creating a business that actually creates ripple effects, because if they get freed to do their thing, then they get to go out and make their own ripple in the world, which is so powerful. But whenever you have a calling, a thing that you're doing, you have high ambitions for something like that, sometimes it can be really difficult because it takes a lot of work to build something incredible. And so what has it been like for you with your beautiful girls? And let's, if you don't mind, remind everybody, you have a beautiful wife named Penny. And how many kids do you have?
Three kids, Kennedy, Carter, and Regan. If you recognize the names, yes, they are all under US president names.
I never connected that before. That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. We were hoping for only girls, and we thought, oh, there's not many names which you could make unisex at least, you know? And so that's kind of like, oh, thank goodness. And we found some really cool names and we went back to the history books and got some cool names for them.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you've got these three girls that you're raising and doing this in partnership with Penny. What has that been like for you in building your business? Like, What's it been like? Has it been easy sailing? Has it been super hard?
Yeah, there has been certain things which I expected would be hard, but then it's been unexpected things as well, as usual. I think one of the hardest things is when you're building a business, your business is like your baby. So it's kind of like our fourth child, or maybe our first child, because you put so much time and effort in it. And so that's what you need to realize, is that your business is like your child. And if you've got other children, then you need to understand that you really can't neglect any of them. And you've got to find a way to make it work. And I know how some parents have two kids and they make it work. And some parents have five kids and they spread the time evenly, right? And so that's one of the things I've learned, is that if we treat our business like our baby, the business will succeed. But also we need to see it as a family member as well. And the family needs to understand that that's what this business is. And the business also needs to understand that you also have a family too. So I see it as a living organism.
That's awesome. Can you think of a time whenever, like, where you struggled, where it was kind of like one of those pivotal moments where it's kind of like, all right, family needs me and business needs me right now. And what did you do?
Yeah, this was early on, and I didn't realize how much this would hurt. I knew that when I started out the business 7 years ago, the first couple of years would be a lot of my time investing in there. And that time, my eldest, Kennedy, she was only one. And so for the first 2 years of her life, like the first 2 or 3 years of her life, I didn't spend as much time with her as she needed me there. And there was one incident where, because I work from home, right? And I'm according to her, I'm always in my office. Like, that's how she associates daddy. And there was one moment where she would, you know, come to resent me. And every time she was upset or something and I tried to console her, she didn't want me. She's like, I just want mommy. And she only wanted to spend time with mommy. And one time she was really upset at me about something and I wasn't sure what it was. But then I tried to figure it out with her and she said, daddy, just go to your office.
Oh.
And that really cut deep, because at that point then I knew that that's all she knows of daddy. It's like, daddy's the person that just stays in his office all day. And as much as that hurt, it also drove me and gave me the hunger to make this work in a way where I could free up my time to spend time with my family. And so if she had not done that, I wouldn't have known. I would have been in the dark and I would have continued doing that. But it made me think smarter about my business and how do I build a team? How do I build systems? How do I build processes to remove myself so I can spend the time? And now we're in a great position where I do spend a ton of time with my kids. And I mean a lot, my given week is around about 4 hours of delivery to my clients. And then I might create some trainings here and there, but that's it. I get to play golf twice a week, but I get to spend Saturday and Sunday with my kids. I get to drive them to school half the week. Penny does the other half. We pick them up. We take them swimming. So I spend more time with my kids now than I do in my business. And that only came because I made it important enough to figure out a way to be able to do both. But without that situation happening, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, through pain comes growth. And so I'm glad that she actually was bold enough to tell me to go back to my office that day.
Ah, she sounds incredibly perceptive, right? Like, even at such a young age, to be able to articulate that for you. And then the fact that you were sensitive enough to do something about it is really incredible. Obviously, we all know that it takes a lot of work to work yourself to where you have other people that are doing work in your business for you so that you can free time and you're not chained to your desk, or, you know, just, you know, daddy becomes synonymous with the office. What were some of the things that you did initially to make that change in your business?
Yeah, I'll share with you some decisions that I think are really important. Understanding what drives you to even run the business in the first place. For most parents, if they say what drives you, it's my kids. My kids are everything to me. And so if they're your source of hunger, then you want to continually feed that source. Meaning that if you neglect them, then you lose your source of hunger. And so that's what I've learned, is that if I start neglecting my kids, I start losing motivation in my business, because I'm losing my why. And so now I know that the more time I spend with my kids, the more I'm motivated in business, and more motivated in business, more I want to spend with my kids. So we need to understand that you don't want to cut off the source of your hunger, because that's the thing that drives you. And so by doing that, it allows you to think longer term, but allows you to support both. Most people have this, I guess, story that says that if I spend more time with my kids, I'm going to lose out on my business. Or if I spend more time with business, I'm going to lose my kids. Or if I spend time with my kids, I'm going to feel guilty I'm not in my business. Or vice versa, that guilt. And I used to feel like that a lot. But then what I've realized is it's a flawed thinking, because you're actually feeding the thing that drives both. And so I had to really flick the switch on that. I mean, that was the first thing. The second thing is I believe that the longer time horizon you give yourself on your goals, on where you want to be, the easier it is for you to get through life. And I know it's harder to do than it is, but you know, sometimes you just need to sacrifice profits, you know, for that. And I hire out a lot of team members who take away a lot of things off my plate to free up my time. And I could easily do it myself and save the money, but I don't want to. Like, I really want to spend time with my kids, because that's important to me, because it allows me to, when I work harder, I work more focused, I work more motivated, more driven, and I have more sense of purpose. And so it's just been working so well from that belief.
You know, something that you just said that I think it just made sense in my head. So give me a second to try to articulate this. But I always have said that three things in life will grow you as a human being, right? And that's marriage, it's kids, and it's business, right? When you go to all three of those, you're in a constant sharpening state. Like, all your rough edges are going to come off one way or the other, or something's going to break, right? You have to learn how to sacrifice, how to lead, how to love well. And all of those things grow us as human beings. And so whenever you're talking about, you have to sacrifice profit in order to hire these people, but isn't it kind of crazy, because your goal to be with your kids drove you to hire people, which actually drives you to become a better leader and a better business owner, which then cycles back through to enable you to spend more time with your kids, right? Like, do you see that? Like, full circle, how, but like, if you were just doing it on your own, there would be a whole section of who Richmond is that would not have grown. That capacitor wouldn't have grown, because you have to grow to have a successful team and have people who don't leave you and turn over and, or frustration because they're not doing their job well. Like, you have to grow as a leader, and your kids basically are like, the benefit of that. Like, they're the ones who were like, hey, dad, like, if you want to spend time with them, you're going to have to hire out. And I think that's a really kind of neat thing. I've never made that association before.
Yeah, it's been a game changer for sure. Yeah.
I love that. So talk to me about how you spend time with your kids versus maybe how you were raised. Like, how did your parents spend time with you versus now, and how you spend time with your kids?
Yeah. We do have the biggest difference between how I was raised and how we raise our kids is, well, there's quite a few, because not only from a cultural aspect, you know, my parents grew up in Vietnam. They had a tough life, like extremely tough. I wouldn't be able to imagine the stuff they had to go through. And then they had to assimilate into the Australian culture or the Western culture. And so the times are different, but also just people are different now. Culture is different, just generally speaking, out on how societies and social media and all those things. So it's a very different world. And so I get that the parenting style was very different. But in short, the biggest difference in parenting is how I was parented was very one way, very dictatorial. Their way is the only way. And how I parent our kids, it's like a communication. It's like a two-way street. And we really allow them to have their opinions in a safe space, and allow them to make mistakes and allow them to make decisions and learn from those decisions as well. So that's the biggest difference, giving them a framework to safely make decisions. And so that's something I wasn't given. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not a good thing. I feel like our kids are very mature for their age. And so it seems to be working. Not a parenting expert, but it seems to be working.
Hey, listen, we're all on the journey together, Richmond. So talk to me about the framework to help them make good decisions. Is that an actual framework that you've taught them? Like, what is that?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. They wanted to get the ear pierce, right? And so if it's something important to them, first of all, we want to make sure, if they want to make that decision, like, getting your ears pierced is somewhat a significant event. And because, you know, especially for a young girl, right? And we want to make sure they were doing for the right reasons and it wasn't from peer pressure. So the first step in a decision is we wait until they've asked us at least 5 times. So,
oh, okay.
So we wait. And then it's like, oh, that's really important. Okay. Then we want to know why they want to do it. So we dig down and I say, why do you want to get ears pierced? And then what I do is I've I want to ascertain how badly they want something. Say, great, give me another 4 reasons. I want 5 reasons. Well, I then ask 5 times, and then I want 5 reasons. Right. Now this is an important decision. Great. And they can't think of 5 reasons, then that means they don't really want it that badly. So I encourage them that every decision you make, you want to make sure that you really want to make it. You want to know why you want to make it, because the reason why, because I teach them, the reason why people don't have what they want in their life is because they don't know what they want, but more importantly, they just don't want it badly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want it badly enough, 5 reasons should be easy for you. And so that's step 1 of decision-making. Step 2, knowing why. And then step 3 is then just taking action on it and then learning from it. So take action. Did it work out? Is it what you wanted? Great. If it's not, what's the lesson? And then always trying to encourage, okay, what are 5 things that we learned from this decision? Did we get it right or the way you want it or not? And then we get 5 lessons out of it. So that's a kind of a 3-step process there. And I always love, and if I feel like they're going to make the wrong decision, I still allow them to do it, because I know the 5 lessons that comes afterwards is like extremely valuable and quite often more valuable than actually getting the result they wanted.
Oh, gosh, that's so good. And I love that you pulled out that the reason why people don't have what they want in life is because they don't know what they want or why they want it. And that you're training your girls to think about that now, I think is so powerful, especially as women. Fact is biologically, men and women are different. It doesn't make one better than the other, but women are more emotional. And a lot of times, and I don't want to pigeonhole us because some are more emotional than others, but to be taught to stop and to think about what you want and why you want it is so incredibly powerful. I think particularly for women, obviously it's powerful for everyone. So man, it almost sounds like the lessons that you teach and you have learned and that you implement through your coaching strategies is coming into your parenting. Would you say that that's accurate?
My gosh, I started the coaching business and I said to myself, as a worst case scenario, if the business fails, the things I learn, I can adopt it to parenting. And so just luckily the business is crushing it. And also it's made me a better parent too. Just the things you learn as a business owner are so applicable to leadership and parenting and decision-making and learning and growing for sure. Yeah. Like you said, the 3 things, you know, parenting, being in a spousal relationship and growing your business grows you as a human more than anything else.
Oh my gosh, yes. Can you think of any other things that have kind of crossed over from revelations you've had as a business owner into what you're trying to teach your girls?
Yeah, I would say, or how we frame difficulty or how we see, because most entrepreneurs, like, failure is just a setback. Failure is just a lesson. Failure is just feedback. But most people out there, they don't see it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... yeah. And that's probably the biggest gift around entrepreneurship that we pass on to parenting. And I'll share another story. So Kennedy's got a couple of $100s. She's the richest 8-year-old ever. No, she's not, but, you know, and she got a Lego set for Christmas. And one of our uncles gave it to her, and she's 8 years old, but she got a 6+1 and she finished it in like 20 minutes. It's super easy for her. And so she got addicted because it's so easy. And she's like, Dad, can I get another Lego set? Right. She had like $40 and she gave us $40 and she spent it. And we bought an 8+1 right to match her age. And she finished that in like 30 minutes. I'm like,
no.
Wow, this is pretty cool. She just smashed it. And then she's like, Dad, I want to buy another Lego set. And she had the money and said, let's go to Kmart. We went to Kmart and now there's like 9+, 10, 11, 12, all the way up to 16. I said, Kennedy, what are you going to choose now? And she's like, oh, I'll choose the 12+1. So she's chose a 12+ and it looked difficult. Like it was this big castle thing and it looked like it was going to take a couple of days. And I thought, wow, I wasn't sure if she could do it, but she chose it. And she was willing to spend her own money on it. And I'm great. Hey, you can do that. And so we went home and she opened it straight away. And like we're in the living room for 2 hours and she's in the room and she's quiet. And you know, when your kids are quiet for that long, you're not sure what's going on.
But yeah, you're a little concerned.
So you are like, what are they doing? 2 hours later, she comes out and she's crying. She's distraught. Like she's panting and she's like, Daddy, I had to start all over again. She was so like, she felt like a complete failure. Like she literally had to rip it all down and start again because she missed the foundational piece in the instructions and she couldn't go back. And she was just, I've never seen her distraught like that in that context, unless like she was like something happened at school, you know? And so I got down on my knee and said, Hey, Kennedy, like, What happened? And she told me, I had to start all again, and now it took a waste of the last couple of hours. And it's just so frustrating, and it's just really, really, really hard. And at that point, I said to her, well, how come you chose the 12 plus one? Why did you choose that? And it's like, well, because I knew if I chose maybe the 9 will be too easy. So, okay, well, what would happen if you finished the 12 plus one in an hour or 2 hours? Oh, probably would have chosen the 16 plus one. I should say, Dad would come back with the 16 plus one. And then I said to her, so Kennedy, what does it mean when things are hard? And now this comes out the coaching, right? From entrepreneurship. And then she said, well, it means maybe I'm going to learn. Maybe I'm going to grow. Maybe it's going to take longer, which is good because I don't want it to finish too quickly. I'm like, great. And then from that point now, I know she's going to go through life and she's not going to fear doing things that are hard or difficult. In fact, she's going to embrace it because that's what makes you grow. And so that all came from business.
Hey, powerful parents, Stephanie here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Did you know that statistics show that 88% of Americans say they eat dinner with their family every night or a few times a week? I think that's a pretty awesome stat. But if you're anything like me and you're an entrepreneur, then after a day filled of putting out fires and maybe various events testing your patience, sometimes it's hard to think of questions that can help you really connect with your kids beyond the standard, how was your day? When my kids were just littles, I put together a list of questions to solve this problem and to help us have something to connect with over dinner time. And now I would love to share my curated dinner questions with you. This is good for littles and for bigs. There's lots of different varying questions in there. And these questions are going to help to ensure that the conversation is not just lively, but will bring you closer to your children while you enjoy a delicious meal together. As a listener of this podcast, you can get access to these questions at www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Once you're there, make sure to type in your best email, and I'll have my team shoot over the questions for you. Once you get the questions, I encourage you to make this a family affair. Print them out. Have your kids help you cut them out. We even grabbed a mason jar, and my kids decorated it. And that's where we put all of our questions. And that same mason jar still sits on or near our dinner table to this day. We've been using these questions for close to 8 years now, and I've really enjoyed the fun conversation and connection that's come from them. I hope your family enjoys them as much as mine have. Again, that's www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Now back to the show. That is such a great lesson, Richmond. Oh, that's so great. I hope everybody who's listening just kind of takes a note on that. And the next time your kid is really struggling, you know, to use that exact same phrase and just to call that out in our kids, because yeah, society does kind of paint a picture of perfection, right? In people's lives. But usually if anybody reaches any level of success, it has come through so much failure. And that just doesn't always make it to the highlight reel of life, does it? So bravo. I know that we all are always like, oh, well, I'm not a perfect parent and all these things, but that's great. That is so awesome, Richmond. Bravo. And you had to learn that. So talk to me about what it was like whenever you were raised. Like, what were the standards you were raised by as far as failing and what did that look like for you?
Yeah, it was total opposite. Like failing was, you know, when we failed, typically, like, you know, in my culture, it was all about getting grades, like straight A's. And I was valedictorian of my school, right? This is how much my parents pushed me. And I got one of the top awards in optometry when I was an optometrist in university that you could get. And so I was like a straight A nerd, geek, if you want to call it that. Like, oh, because when I didn't get that, it was either like get the cane out or kneel down on my knees until it hurts, or do some sort of like capital punishment, or the silent treatment.
Oh, right? That's the worst. That's almost worse than the physical punishment.
Sometimes. Oh my gosh. It was tough.
Yeah.
And then when I was a bit older and we started getting allowance would get cut. It was brutal. And so I was pushed to achieve, because if I didn't, then in a sense, love would be withdrawn. Right. And again, they probably parented me a lot easier than they got parented from. So I understand they're probably thinking, you got nothing compared to us. And probably they're right.
You're probably right. Yeah.
So I do have, like, there's not blaming them. I totally see where they're at, and it's made me the person I am. So I'm so grateful. And so on that note, like, failing was, I had a big fear of failure, a massive fear. And it created like a sense of, you know, when I failed, I didn't want to tell anyone because if I thought if I told someone, I'd get in trouble. I had that association. And so it's quite the complete opposite, kids. It's like we encourage failure. We encourage doing things that are hard. We encourage all that. We encourage, you know, imperfectionism. We encourage doing things messy. How did that come about? Again, being in business.
Yes. Yes. Man, these are the things that they don't tell you that you're going to get out of being in business. Like you don't, like whenever you're thinking about starting a business and you're all doe-eyed and people are talking about the success and the money. I don't know. I just feel like nobody's out there going like, you start this business, you're going to become a better human. Like you're going to be challenged in ways that'll make you an incredible, potentially make you an incredible parent, right? I guess it all depends on what kind of decisions you make along the way. Because a lot of people don't make the same decisions, Richmond, like, you know, or just haven't had the revelation quite yet. So they're leaving people in their wake, you know, as they're building and growing things and not able to make that transition in growth, right? But I think it's incredible that you took something that's hard for us as kids, right? Because you think about little kid Richmond, little kid Stephanie, and whoever's listening, like the version of yourself. And you think about the things that most of us went through and we'd wish something different, but you did say something very key. It made you who you are. And I think that myself as well, I learned through all the tough times. It did sharpen who I became, right? And how I move through this world. But yet I don't want the same for my kids. And so I think it's interesting. I'd love to just know if you have any thoughts about it. So I know there's a whole new movement, Richmond. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but it's called gentle parenting. And you can look on TikTok or anywhere and you go and you're going to see gentle parenting and helping your child regulate their emotions. And then you also see these TikTok videos of people who are in public places and teachers, and they're like, what are y'all doing to your kids? They're hellions. They're crazy. They don't listen. You know, they hate authority. And like, it's like, I don't know. I feel like somewhere along the line, we went, okay, this over here was really, really bad. And we don't want that anymore. So like the pendulum has gone whoosh, and it's like all the way over here on the other side in like this crazy way where it's almost like there isn't any authority. There isn't any training on what should or shouldn't be done. It's just like, well, how do you feel about that? You know? And I'm wondering, do you have any thoughts? Like, do you see that at play at all in your life or with people around you?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying with gentle parenting, and the pendulum has swung far to the other way. Like, I mean, the philosophy in itself is, you know, I totally get the philosophy. I just don't think people know how to, like, there's like tough gentle. I believe like you can do things, you know, and kind of like tough love, and you still need to give them choices. You need to give your kids choices, but the choices that you give them. Like, for example, would you like to eat broccoli or lettuce? It's not like, would you like to eat ice cream or broccoli? Like, we give the kids the choice. And I think with gentle parenting, they're like, well, what would you like to do? You can eat anything you want. I'm like, no, you got to give them the choice, but allow them to pick within the right framework, the right structure, the right, you know, support there. I think what's most important is like helping your kids become great decision makers, you know, and respectful of their decisions. And so another kind of framework that I'm starting to introduce to especially Kennedy now, because the others are too young to understand outside their world. They think they're the only one in their world, right?
Right.
But yeah, how can you tell a three-year-old to say, hey, consider someone else's feelings? Like they're just all they see is themselves in the world. So the next framework I'm kind of going to introduce is, okay, when you make a decision, we want to ask yourself these three things. Like, is it good for you? Like, is it good for you? Great. Like, great. And so they already know, like, too much ice cream is not good for them, right? Or too much of whatever is not good, too much of this is not good. Is it good for others? Is it good for others? Great. So that's good. So if it's good for you and good for others, then you're on the right track for this decision. And then the third thing is, when they have the awareness, is it good for, like, the greater good? And if that's the case, then that's a really good decision. But if it ticks the first two boxes, then you're on the right track. And so that's kind of the process I'm starting to lean into now for Kennedy, because now she's understanding others quite well and kind of understanding the greater good. She's asking about, hey, will the world like disappear one day? And how was the world made? And all this kind of stuff. So
that's so good. That's so good. Okay. So speaking through that, how are you handling technology in your home? Because it seems like everybody has a different, well, it is true. Everybody has a different philosophy and kind of track record. And then it eventually changes because of the age of our children, right? And the different needs of the family. And so I'm curious, what are you guys doing right now with technology in your home? What does it look like for your kids? And are there any screen time rules or where are y'all with that?
Yeah, there are. We put boundaries around it. And our kids are quite young, so I'm not sure on how we're going to handle like the age where they get a phone. Like that it's like, wow, you want a phone now? Like, what do I do now? Like, I'm a bit lost there. So, yeah, I'm sure some parents have got teenage kids and that phone is a scary one. That'll be a scary moment for me. But I'm just kind of set them up for that moment where they can take some responsibility and understand what's going to be good for them, what's not going to be good for them and good for others as well. But for now, yeah, we do treat them with screen time, but we're very deliberate on what we want them to watch. And I always watch what they're watching because I want to know what's actually going through their mind.
Oh, that's so good.
And so, yeah, like that's important. And so there's been certain things that they watch and I'm not approving of this. I don't like this. Let's watch something else instead and give us some choices. We can watch this, this or this, but not that. Just do not watch that. So, because they are what they perceive as a world and they're sponges. And so we've got to be really, really careful on how much time they spend there and also what they're actually spending time on.
I think that's a really good point because never, ever, ever in the history of humankind has there ever been the opportunity for our children to be sponges to so many different ideals and cultures. And so that has its positive sides, right? Because our kids get exposed and understand that our world is so much bigger than what you see right in front of you here because they can see it through this window in the screens. But then it also has a negative side because there's so many different tunnels. Like one of my kids actually fell into kind of like a writer's group. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. She loves to write. This is going to be incredible. And I just thought that's what it was. But in reality, it developed into something so much more because there's this app and there's this over here. And then once you get over here, you get into some really crazy stuff that even the app itself is not even supposed to be for kids this old, but they don't actually do any verification at all. And it's just so crazy because you think it's this one thing, but then all of a sudden your kids can get exposed to like this whole area and this whole world. And if you're not being diligent, if you're not watching, or sometimes when you are being diligent, because in the circumstance I'm talking about, I was being diligent. I even had things set up and that's how I ultimately discovered and understood what was actually my daughter was actually being exposed to. But the crazy thing is there's all these like so many voices that want to teach your kid everything. And they're available 24 hours a day to teach your kid whatever their philosophy is about life and about how you do life and about what is important. And I feel like some people don't recognize the incredible impact that can have on your child and also onto your family. And so I think that's so, so wise of you to be paying attention to what they're looking at. And it's also crazy too, because in some countries, I know in like TikTok in America, it's wide open for everything, right? But apparently in China, they only show educational content. I don't know like the legitimate, all of the facts about all of that, but I'm like, that's just so wild to me that if you are of this age and you're on TikTok in China, you will not see what American children would see. You only see this type of content. Now, why would a whole country get behind doing something like that?
Pretty powerful. I mean, that's, I guess who's going to rule the world in 10 years time?
I know. And these are our kids, right? And so like, how much more so do we need to sit up and pay attention to what's going into their hearts and into their minds? Because it's really quick. And even I find this too with music. I don't know. Some people might think I'm totally crazy if I say this, but I think also too, kids nowadays, especially if they're more artistic in nature, as they start to get older, man, they would love to just walk around with headphones with music all day long if they could, right? And all the different music and everything. When I'm a musical person myself, I love music. I'm also more creative. And so I totally get that and I totally understand it. But man, the messages and the feels and all the things, that's why music is so powerful because it has an impact on us. And whenever you listen to music that's this way, you know, it does make a difference in how you see the world and how you move through the world. And so it's fascinating because I think that some people, whenever I talk to them about this, they're like, oh yeah, you're crazy, Stephanie. Like what? You're going to like tell your kid what music they can and can't listen to. And I am. I am. I'm going to be like, hey, but I do like you do, Richmond. I say, hey, is this actually good for you? Like, what impact is this having on you? What message is this sending to your heart? Is this the message you want in your heart? Is this the message that you want to take as part of who you are? Because ultimately, if you keep listening to this, that's what it will become, kind of a mindset that you'll have, right? And so watching out for all of that is always such a hard thing. Is there anything that you guys are currently working on? Because I know your two younger ones are very young. What remind me of the ages one more time?
Yep, 8, 6, and 3.
8, 6, and 3. Oh, you're in the best years. This is such, they're all good years, but oh man, those are some good years. So when they're that young, I know there's not like a ton of things that you're doing, but do you have any family frameworks? Like, do you guys do anything specifically as a family, like a family night or family dinners or anything like that in your home?
Yeah. We spend a lot of time with the family. Like now we do, like I said before, like at the start, I set my business up so I could spend time with the family. So family time happens on usually Saturday night. Like that's when the family sits down. If we were to watch something, everyone has to agree on what we're going to watch, which unfortunately has to be appropriate for a 3-year-old because she's the youngest, right? So we just have to suck it up. So that's like our common family time. And then Sunday, we usually go out on a Sunday as well. That's our two days. Every other time is like, you know, we're taking them swimming, enjoy the taking them to school and all that kind of stuff there too. And on that note of like how to, you know, you mentioned, I didn't know like China did that, you know, censored everything else and everything's like, you know, a learning platform. We do that at home is like, if they're going to watch anything on the screen, half of the things that they watch needs to be like a how-to thing. And then the other half can be entertainment style. And so we kind of lean on that proportion. I don't know if that's the right proportion, but that's kind of what we're leaning to. And so on a family level and a family culture and a rituals level, we have rules. I don't like saying rules, but you know, you do need rules for kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you need systems and structures. And at our home, we have two main rules. Is that anytime we try something, we can't give up. You never give up and you never say, I can't, right? And so that's kind of the two taboo words is I can't and I give up. And that's kind of helped shape the values and foundations of what we do in our family. And the preface to that is anytime you're stuck on something, we always ask for help.
That's good.
That's kind of
That's so good. I love that. Okay, so I've got one more question for you, and then we're going to wrap up after we let people know where they can learn more about what you're doing. But Richmond, for you, what does it mean to be a good father?
I'll end with a quote that really stood out to me when I was, you know, when Penny was pregnant with our first, and I was becoming a father, is that quite often we look at our kids and we wonder who they're going to grow up to be, without realizing they're looking to us to see who they should grow up to be.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, being a father is the ultimate accountability, the ultimate personal development program, the ultimate pathway to become your best self, because they are looking to you on who they should be. And so I don't believe there's, you know, and some people don't want to be a parent and they're happy, and that's okay too. Personally, for me, it's been the most liberating journey of growth as a human that I've ever went through for that. And I know it's only just the beginning.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so powerful. Richmond, how can people learn about what you're doing? I've just loved watching you pivot this last year and just, I mean, you already had an incredible movement, but can you tell them about the Underdog Movement?
Yeah, the Underdog Movement. So we're the founder of the Underdog Movement or theunderdogmovement.com. And we're here to support the little guy, the little person, the little girl, like that person that an outsider person, because we coach beginner coaches, like that's our avatar. But more wider scope is the person that feels like they're the minority in life and they're the misunderstood, because right now no one's fighting for that little person. No one's fighting that little guy. And so it's really important and it matters to me because I was a minority growing up. I was that little person. And so I understand that we need someone to fight for you as a little person, as a startup entrepreneur. And so that's why we launched the Underdog Movement, to help the startup and to give them a family and give them a home. And so the only way to reach out with support is just to support the movement. And I tell all my students or all our clients or anyone who comes in their world, if you see any great stories online, #underdog movement. And when we launched the movement, I looked up the #underdog movement, and there was only about 4 or 5 hashtags that came up. I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And now since we launched the movement, when you #underdog movement, there's all these hashtags are coming up. So I would love this movement to be viral. And so if you see any inspirational stories of triumph out there and you #underdog movement, that would really, really help support the movement.
Ah, that's so good, Richmond. And you know what? I'm gonna add to that. I'm gonna go tell my story because I'm an underdog as well. I believe that underdogs are the ones who can, you know, take over the world and do incredible things. And I can think of nobody who people would be better aligned with if they feel like that resonates in their heart and they find themselves to be an underdog to grab a hold of this and learn what Richmond is doing. Richmond, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you so much and your time. I know how valuable it is. And thank you so much.
Appreciate you too, Steph.
I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.